So that song, I really appreciate that song where it says, help me, Lord, in every tribulation. Help me. Amen. And God will. God will. Praise the Lord. If you could, in the morning service, help me remember to remind me to pass these out. These are, we're having our updated directory of everybody's name and address and phone number. So I'm going to get this written out to everybody and write it down. And Miss Diane Krause is going to put it together for us. And we'll have an updated, an updated version. How's everyone doing? You okay? I don't know where everyone is today, but maybe because it's Mother's Day, maybe, I hope that's what the case is, that maybe their children took them to breakfast. I don't know. But maybe they should take them breakfast at 8 o'clock and get here by 10. I don't know about that. But all I know is we're down like 2/3 of the people normally on Sunday morning. So I hope by 11 o'clock they all come in. Amen? Amen. We'll pray. How's everybody doing? You doing okay today? Amen. Everybody doing okay? You got your Bibles with you? Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Amen. Did you bring your faith with you? Amen. Or did you leave it at home? You know Carl Malden? How many people remember Carl Malden? Amen. I know the older people do. Amen. Never leave home without it. Amen. Never leave home without your faith. He was talking about your credit card. I'm talking about your faith. Amen. Never leave home without it. You're coming to the house of God on the Lord's Day. Just remember that this is the Lord's Day. It's not your day. It's not our day. It's His day. And He is worthy to be praised, the Bible says. David, in all his tribulation and all his trials, he knew that his job, his purpose, his heart was to praise God in every tribulation, in every trial. Amen. So make sure that on this day, no matter what it is, you give God what God is due. And what God is due is your gratitude, your attitude, and your love. Amen. Give that to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you please take your Bibles and open up with me to, let me see, Proverbs 24, and then we're going to move on right from there. Proverbs 24 is where this little series has taken us. It's good to see you all this morning. I hope you slept well. A lot of rain. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Amen. Nothing like your mother. Nothing like our mother. Amen. Are you there in Proverbs 24? Look in verse 3 with me. It says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I want you to underline those three words if you don't already have them. Highlight them. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Those three words are the key elements in the Christian life, the key elements in the Bible. They are the key elements of God. What makes God God is He has all wisdom, all understanding, and all knowledge. What makes God so much higher than us? He knows everything. You understand that? What makes us so much higher than the animals is our wisdom, our understanding, and our knowledge. What has man done with that wisdom, that understanding, that knowledge? Forget the morality of it, but just look. We have space stations in space. We have nuclear weapons. We have cell phones. We have computers. We are going to Mars. I mean, you got to be kidding. The things that man has put their mind to do. Because you got to remember that God said, I didn't. He said, no, you're not. You are gods. Little g. Little G-O-D-S. You are gods. That means we are made and created in the image and the likeness of God. That means we have, God has high hopes for us. There is many things in store for us. We are not, this is not our destination. We're just passing through. This is a little spot in time that God has for you. Each and every one of us are here for such a time as this. The message that we're going to unfold here is for you. It's not for a group. It's for you personally, because each and every one of us that have been saved by Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, through the sacrifice of His Son, by the blood atonement, those who have received Christ and you've been born again, you know what that means, born again. Well, you are now in the family and the child of God Himself. And God has plans for you. Do you understand that? This, what you're in right now, is I would call a learning phase where we are learning to obey Him. When we don't see Him, yet we have His word, we are now to obey Him through our faith in Him, through our love in Him for Him, and through our obedience in Him. And just as Jesus, when He left heaven and was born, when He was born and of Mary, He became a man, it says in Philippians chapter 2, and being found in the fashion of a man, being found in a body of a human being just like you. You're talking about the Word. You're talking about Christ. You're talking about God. In the Word, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he being found in the fashion of man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient. Do you understand? He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. Get that through. He was equal with God, yet being found in this body, he humbled himself and became obedient to God and everything God said. Does that make any sense to you? You were created in the image and likeness of God. And now that you're born again, it says, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so therefore, I want you to get these thoughts in your mind that you are here today because of God. I know it sounds broad. You are here today in the house of God because of God. You're following the Lord in believer's baptism. You're following the Lord in Bible reading and prayer. You're following the Lord in obedience in here on Sunday school. And it's all for a purpose and a reason. It's not for nothing, because what's going to happen is each and every one of us shall stand before the Lord God. Each and every one of us in this room and throughout all the world who have no Christ shall stand before the Lord, who knows everything about you, every reason you did everything, every thought, every intent of your heart, and everything shall be revealed. Please get that through our heads. Everything shall be revealed, good or bad, that you've done in this body. Do you understand that? It says that which was whispered in the closets shall be shouted on the mountaintops. Everything shall be made known. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in Jesus Christ's life that he wants hidden? Nope. His life was an open book. Is there anything in your life that you want to keep hidden? Absolutely, right? So what you need to know, that from this moment on, start to live your life as an open book before God, man, and the angels. Because the angels see it, God sees it, you know it, and it's going to be declared throughout all the universe. See, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, the Bible says. Apostle Paul was taken up in the third heaven. He saw some things, Miss Danielle. He saw things up there. He said, oy, oy, oy. And he came back down. God sent him back down. He said, guys, you better listen up. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And my whole point to this is that it says, by wisdom your house is built, by understanding it's established, by knowledge everything in it will be filled with precious things. So what I want to talk about today and for the next week or so is about the judgment seat of Christ, about your rewards, what you're going to get, because ultimately that's why we're here. We're here now for what's going to happen then. Do you understand that? You are here now for what you're going to get for all eternity. It's very, very important. We have to put that on the forefront of our mind. So if you would please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm just going to look at one verse. And now I'm going to get into the real lesson. Hebrews 13. Do you need, you know, there's certain things that everyone needs. And the Bible tells us about it. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him do what? What are we supposed to do? Ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He wants all of us to have wisdom. Do you understand? He says, and he upbraideth it not. He says, but, when there's a but, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For the man that wavers is like a wave tossed to and fro by the sea. It says, let not that man think he'll receive anything in the Lord. So when you ask for wisdom, the most important thing, let's just be honest and I'll hurry up. How many people would really like to have about $10 million right now? Wouldn't hurt to have it in the bank. Come on, I'm being serious. Amen? Steve, I'm being serious. Yeah. Lord, send it. I'll take it. Amen? Well, the wisdom and understanding and knowledge of God, God says, is God's money. It's God's riches. God's money, what makes God have everything there is to have, nothing lacking ever, is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So therefore, knowing that, we ought to search wisdom, understanding, and knowledge more than we would hidden treasure. We ought to search for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in the scriptures more than we ever would for gold, silver, or anything else in this world. Does that make sense to anyone? So we need to get that in our minds and understand that. Here in Hebrews chapter 13, I did say 13, didn't I? I thought I said 10 for a minute. Hebrews 13, look in verse 9 with me. It says this, it says, be not carried about with diverse, that means different, different and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. It is a good thing if your heart be established with grace. I believe this is the biggest problem, troubling time in the latter days. Do you believe we're in the last days? Amen. I know we are. But what happens in the last days is people's hearts aren't established anymore. You know what established means? It means unmovable, not going anywhere. That's what established means. It means your heart is so established in Christ, no matter what happens to you, you're not going to go anywhere. And that's where you need to be. You need to be so rooted, grounded, and settled in Christ that no matter what happens in your life, you stay the same. Amen. Christ is our rock, what we went through a couple weeks ago. Christ is the solid rock. He that is a wise man, Jesus said, hears the word of God and does it. I liken him a man that digs deep and builds his house upon a rock. Can I get an amen? We need to do that. These aren't just words. Don't let them fall to the ground. But we need to have our hearts established. Most people don't understand what real grace means. Turn with Matthew 13 with me. Matthew 13. People don't understand the grace that's given to us is such a gift. It's never, ever to be thought of lightly or spoken of lightly. The grace of God is only given to us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did on the cross appeased God's wrath upon man. So therefore, because of the blood of Christ and what he did on the cross, all men everywhere have received the grace of God. Does that make any sense to anybody? So the grace of God is there, able to save any soul at any time. Because God's wrath is not on them anymore. It's taken off of them through Christ. Now they need to hear the gospel and they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew chapter 13, it says this. Give me one second. I was a little bit away. 13:23, it says this. It says, he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that hears the word and what? I believe this with all my heart that most people don't understand the word of God. I do. I'm talking people in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches. They don't understand it. The only time they truly study or hear is it when they come to church or when they hear a message or something. They're not studying it for their own. They're not digging and searching, as the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, not to show yourself to God that you care. Show yourself to the Holy Spirit of God that you, more than anything, want to know the Word of God. Can someone say amen? Can I get a witness? This is where we need to be. Right now we're here. We need to get there. And the only way we can get there is to start moving from here to here to hear, and that's only going to be by reading, studying, knowing the Word of God, and understanding it. But understanding, you see, God says if you ask, he'll give you wisdom. But understanding is never given. You have to seek it out. You have to diligently seek it out. God does not give understanding just to anybody. He only give it to those who he sees, the Holy Spirit sees, God sees, is serious and really is looking for it, desiring it. Does that make sense to anybody? So if you want understanding, you're not just going to get it. You got to go out and search for it. And then God, the Holy Spirit, will reveal it to you when he sees that you're honestly searching. That's what he said, seek and you shall find. I want to turn now, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to stay in 1 Corinthians 3 for a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a great, great, great chapter. I love 1 Corinthians 1-3, just amazing, amazing stuff in there. I love it how Apostle Paul says, I wanted to talk to you as spiritual, but I couldn't because you're carnal. I wanted to give you meat, but I couldn't because all you want is milk, is babies. That's what he said. And then he goes and gives them real spiritual meat. I love that. Amen. Look what he says to me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says this, but as it is written, Eye has not seen, this is your eyes. This is your eyes he's talking about. Your eye had not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, that's into your heart. Look what it says, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. This is what I want to, more than anything, I want you to be get to be prepared to meet thy God. I want you to be prepared for the judgment, judgment seat of Christ. I want you to be prepared for that day when you stand before the Lord. No one gets away with anything. Can I get an amen? Or an oh me or an oh my or something. No one gets away with anything. You are God's children. Do you really think he's going to let you get away with something? Our children get away with all kinds of stuff. That's why it never bothered me beating my child or spanking my child or correcting my child for something. They said, I didn't do it. It's tough. You did something else. I didn't catch you. Because, you know, it's like we get away with so much as children in this world, but we don't get away with anything with God. Anything. And so therefore, we need to always examine our hearts and look in our soul, inside of ourselves, and see if we have anything. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have did that. I should have acted like that. God, forgive me. We have the blood of Jesus to absolutely forgive us. Now, you don't just get forgiven and do the same thing over. You've forgiven and you learn. And you learn. And you learn so that, because this is what I'm here. I want you to understand, it's not about what you've done. Let's just pretend we walked into these doors this morning and we're in a time capsule. And everything in the past means nothing, nothing at all. Everything from this moment on as the clock tick means what's going to happen in the future for you. Forget about the past, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to those things which are before. Looking to grab the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ. Each and every one of us, if James and John, the apostles said, who can sit on, can we sit at your right hand? Can we sit there? And Jesus said, no, it's not for me to give. It's for whoever wants it. And the truth of the matter is right now, no matter what you've done, no matter what you didn't do, no matter how, whatever, means nothing. We all start on the same playing field today. And what that means is if Christ comes back tomorrow, if Christ comes back tonight, if he comes back next year, whenever he comes back, that is when this learning class and this earning class. See, we are in the earning years of our life. We are earning for our retirement, or I won't even call it retirement. We're earning for our rewards that are coming up. And you have, by the end of today, could earn more rewards today than you have in your whole lifetime. So this, the great thing with God is he doesn't care what you did, what you've been, where you've been. He only cares about what you're going to do. And look with me, if you would, please. In verse 8, it says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There's no reason for us not to have understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of this book of all eternity, of things past, present, and future. I'm here to tell you today the greatest thing in the world. You might not be able to explain it. You may not be able to teach it, but you know it inside here. You know it, that you know certain things. I know certain things are going to happen. I know them before they ever happened. I know them. I see them. I feel them. I have discernment. God's given me things that I know. I can't explain it. Doesn't matter if I knew it. And God talked to me with a verbal voice last night and told me, you know, so-and-so, Mike Wilps, this is going to happen to you. And I went up and told Mike. He wouldn't listen to me. It doesn't matter what I tell you. I'm just telling you right now, God will reveal everything to you. Isn't that pretty cool to know? That you'll know everything? Keep reading. Look what it says. It says in verse 12, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges, that means weighs all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. My reason I read that, because I love it, first of all. The second of all, there's no excuses. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have everything we need. There's no excuses to say, well, I'm not a good reader. I don't study well. You see, what you're saying to God is his word is void when it comes to you. Other people can get it, but I can't. That's what you're saying. And what you're saying is God's a liar. That's what you're doing. See, when you don't have faith in God, you're calling him a liar is what you're doing. God said that you have the mind, you have every tool. You can do anything you want to do with Christ. Now, that said, let's get right into the real message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is what I'm going to talk to you about the rest of the morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's look in verse 1. 1 down to 3. It says this, "And brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" See, people care more about what's going on in this world than they do what's going to happen in the world to come. People care more about problems that they have in this world than they understand the problems that you're going to have when you get there. I want everyone in this room to know that every single thing you do matters to God, everything. So therefore, you ought to really care and believe the scriptures and start to build yourself and earn rewards, because you're going to stand before the Lord one day, and he promises that he's going to give you everything, and I don't say what you deserve. He's going to give you the rewards that you've earned here in this earth. He wants to. That's what his plan. Pleasure is to give you all things. Do you understand that? So therefore, why don't we just start to put our big boy pants on and start to dig deep into the Word of God and start to do what we're supposed to do for him? Not for me, not for you, not for anyone else, but for him. Can I get an amen maybe? Well, look with me if you would please in verses 9. Verse 9, it says this, "For we are laborers together with God." We are what? Just let that sink in. Brother Dave Pridgen, it says we are laborers together with God. Dave's a great laborer. He comes over, he cuts the trees, he fixes cars, he does almost everything. He's kind of like your MacGyver guy, not the new one, the old one. I don't watch the new one, but anyway, he'll fix anything, and he'll try. He's a great laborer. He'll labor together with you. And that's a great thing. I want you to transfer all that to him, Dave, and realize that you are laborers together with God. Not to fix cars and not to do trees, but sometimes he'll use that. But to do something greater of more importance, do you understand? Each and every one of us are laborers together with God. Look what it says. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 10 right now. It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me," he's talking about Apostle Paul, "as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Remember we read that says, "By wisdom is a house built? In understanding it's established, and through knowledge all the chambers shall be filled with precious, wonderful riches." It says, "I have built thereon, and let every man," please take heed, look what it says, "but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." This is why I'm teaching this right now, because I don't think people really get it. Every single one of us are building what you're going to have forever in eternity. Listen to me, I'm going to say it until you get it. Every single one of us are building our lives for eternity, that right now, on Christ Jesus, on the solid rock of Jesus, and whatever you build, not honey, not what I build for you, not what he builds for you, what you build. Do you understand? Each person is going to get their own reward for their own labor. Does that make sense, anybody? So therefore, it says, take heed how you build, because your eternal dwelling place, your eternal rewards, who you're going to be forever and ever and ever, depends on what you do now and the rest of your life here on this earth. That's why it's so of dire importance. Now look what it says in verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is," say it, church, "Jesus Christ." So everything is built on Christ. Rick, everything is built on Jesus Christ. Marcy? Everything is built on Jesus Christ. Steve, everything. Greg, everything. Brian, everything. When are we going to wake up and realize nothing else really matters? It's all going to burn up, Peter said. Nothing really matters except for that which you do for the Creator God of all existence, who came to this earth and redeemed you and bought you and called you his own, and he lives inside of you and gives you preachers and teachers and Bibles and Holy Spirits for one reason and one reason only, to work together with him to build the church, to build the kingdom of God, to bring in the things of God into this world. That's why we're here. Nothing else matters. But people don't believe that, Mike. No, their life matters. Okay. Find that, please. My thoughts matter. My feelings matter. My desires matter. No, they don't. They mean nothing. They're actually contrary to what God wants. Look what it says, verse 12. Now, this is what I want you to see. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means revealed. For the day shall declare. That means every single thing you do is going to be declared. It's going to be revealed. How is it going to be revealed? It even tells us, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? Fire. By what? Fire. Thank you. Hope you're not sleeping. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And that reward is everlasting from God. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Because if you are born again, you have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in your heart. Amen. Someone say amen. Therefore, no matter what happens, you're saved. That's, your soul is eternally saved. But God doesn't want you just to be saved, get it entering the heaven with the skin of your teeth. He wants you entering into heaven with glory, with praise, with rewards. And that's what I'm going to look at. Look what, back in verse 12. Now, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. There's six elements. Six is the number of man. There's six elements that each and every one of us build our eternal reward in heaven with. All of us do it. You can't get away from it. God has ordained it. It's your building with either gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. And the problem is that we don't know which one is which. We may think we're building with gold, but yet we're building with wood. We may think we're building with silver that will last throughout the fires, but we're building with hay. We don't really know because we don't see it. And that's what I want you to see today, what it is. I'm going to give you the three things: gold, what gold is, what silver is, and what precious stone is, so that you can know what it is and you can start to look for that, build upon that, use that in your life. Because a lot of us go to pick up something to build. We think it's right. We think it's good. And we think it's the good thing and the right thing. But God says, you don't understand. That's wood. Yeah, it'll build a structure. Yeah, you can put some weight on it, but it's not going to stand the test of time. It's not going to stand my trying, my testing on it. It's going to burn up. So we need to know what's in our hands. Someone say amen? So gold, the very first thing, it's very, very simple. I want you to turn with me, you would, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. What is the gold? I taught this before years ago. We were doing things a little different, and many people weren't here. Revelation chapter 21. Say amen when you're there. Look, if you would, please, in verse 9. 21, verse 9. You all there? You sure? I hear pages. You all there? You all there? Amen. Thank you. Hope you're not sleeping. Verse 9, look what it says. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, and the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden rod to measure the city, and thereof and the wall thereof. Now I want to just skip and go right to, let me see, verse, let me see, 18. It says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was, say it out loud, pure gold, like unto clear glass. The streets are gold, the walls are gold, the whole city is gold, everything's made of gold. The outside of the city is made of pearls and jewels and diamonds and amazing things, but inside the city, everything is made of pure gold. That's very significant. And I love this verse, and understand what it says. It says, like unto clear glass. Anyone ever see gold so pure that it was clear you could see through it? Anybody? I never did. I've never seen gold so pure you could see through it. But that's what God's saying. He's trying to tell us something here, that the whole city is made of something. And I'm not going to spend any time, just going to tell you straight what it is. When you are building on the foundation, gold is the number one building ingredient that you want to build with, no matter what you do, whether it's cutting down a tree, whether it's cleaning a toilet, whether it's picking people up for church, whether it's going to work at the job you have or had that you love or hate or doesn't matter, whether it's cleaning your house or changing a diaper, whether it's being a janitor or a pastor. It has no reference for the gold that you use. Every single person is allowed by God to build out of this ingredient. And the number one ingredient that God says you build with that cannot ever be burned away is love. Love is pure. Love is holy. God is pure. God is holy. And love is pure and holy. Love is so pure, so good, so much God, that when you do something out of love, you become transparent. People can see right through you. See, when I know when somebody's not doing something out of love, I can tell. They do it for whatever reason. We all do it. We may do something and say, I'm doing this because I love God. But in all reality, in our intents and our heart, we're doing it for us. We're doing it so maybe we'll get something in return. Come on, you know how we are. We're all the same. God says, no, whatever you do, no matter what it is, changing a stinky diaper, cleaning a toilet, whatever your job is, God said, just do it because you love me. Whatever it is you do, do as unto the Lord, the Bible says. Do it because you love him, and he sees it, and you're earning rewards in heaven. It's a fact. Love is pure. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37. Love is pure, so therefore it's hard for us to do it because we're impure. We have impure thoughts. We have impure motives. We have impure a lot of things. The reason we do a lot of things, Dave, is just because, you know what I mean? Whatever. We do it out of whatever reason. But God sees and tries the heart that whether you're doing it out of pure love. And I'll tell you what, that's what I want to build on more than anything else. Just love. I don't have to be the smartest, the brightest, or anything else, but I can love, and I can do it out of a pure reason because God is pure. If you look at me, in Genesis chapter 37, are you there? Look at me in verse 28. 37:28 says this. It says, oh no, I'm on the wrong one. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. I'm on silver. I looked down the wrong one. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Exodus 25, 25. Exodus 25. Sorry about that. In Exodus chapter 25, thank you for saying amen, so I know you're there. Look at me, if you would, in verse 11, 25:11. It says this, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Now he's talking about the ark. Look in verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. What he's talking about is the Ark of the Covenant, which is one of the most powerful, most beautiful, most amazing things in all of Scripture that God allowed man to make. Do you understand that? It was the place that contained the life of God, the resurrection of God, the Word of God. It contained, what it represented was Jesus Christ, the Word of God, but it also represented our Bible to us today. In it had life itself. But look what it says. It shall be in verse 11. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Pure gold within and without shall thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. Thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof. And two rings shall be in the one side, and two rings in the other side. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And here I just want to understand that every single thing in the sanctuary, everything in the Holy of Holies, everything from the candlestick to the table to the ark, everything was made out of pure gold, solid gold. And that is a picture of what things are going to be like. And what it was a type of was God's love for you. Do you know why God gave us the Ten Commandments? Because his love for us. You know why God gave Moses the commandments to build these things? Because his love for us. You know why God told us to do everything he does? For his love for us. I want you to understand that everything God does is because he loves you. And here I want you to understand that pure love is transparent. When you truly do something just because you love God, everyone could see it. You see, you don't want people to see you. You want them to see Christ in you. You want them to see God in you. You want people, you want God that you say lives inside of you. That's what you want people to see. You want to be transparent. And you want to be honest and sincere. If you mess up, you say, I'm so sorry, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. It wasn't God. It was me doing that. Let the love of Jesus Christ, love of God, shine through that others see it. I'm telling you right now, love is the greatest thing in the world. We all have it. We all need it. We all want it. We all want everyone else to love us, but yet we don't show the love to anyone else. We want everyone to love us, but then where's the love that you show for everyone else? I don't see it, and I certainly want to see it. God wants to see it. When we're building our eternal foundation, no matter what it is, starting tonight, starting after church, starting today, you can start to build eternal rewards in heaven by doing something just out of pure love. Get you out of the way and do it just because you love God. Can someone say amen to that? I'm going to move on. The second building of material is silver. Silver is unique because silver represents something else. Turn to Genesis 37, where I first told you to go. Genesis 37, verse 28. Say amen when you're there. It says, Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for what? 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, this is the first time it's mentioned. What the word silver represents in the Bible is redemption. What silver represents is what you're going to give for someone else. The price of a slave, 20, 30 pieces of silver. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah is towards the end of the Old Testament, right before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 11, say amen when you're there, so I know you're there. Everybody okay? Zechariah chapter 11, look in verse 12 with me, please. It says this, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. What this prophecy in the scripture represents is what happened to Jesus Christ. You can go on and study it for yourself, but every time a slave was bought, every time a human being was purchased, it was always with silver, and it was always 20 or 30 pieces of silver. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. Just go over a little bit and you'll see Matthew. Go to chapter 26. Silver represents others. Represents, gold represents a love for God. Silver represents a love for others. What would you do for others? What would you do to save a soul? What would you do to redeem somebody? If you look in chapter 26, verse 15 with me, it says this. It says, and said unto them, what will you give me? and I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. All through Scripture, the price of redemption for a soul was 30 pieces of silver. So God says, you're all building with gold, silver, precious stone. The first and the most important thing is love for God. Whatever you do for love of God, God sees it. God rewards you for it. Can I get an amen? Let me move on. The second thing is whatever you do for love of others. Whatever you do out of the pure love for others, whether it be helping a homeless man on the street, whether it be going and giving someone your coat, whether it be going and doing this, whatever you do out of the pure reason of the love for others. The problem is so many of us do the right things for the wrong reasons. We do it to get glory. Even Jesus said, some people like to pray to give me the glory, and they pray on the streets, but really the only reason they're doing it is other people see them pray, the good works they're doing. And guess what? They've received the rewards already. He said, but when you give, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. When you do something just because you love others. I'll tell you right now, if we could just do those two, just do stuff because you love God. Just because for him and him alone. And then do things just for others. Just because you love others. You know why you love others? Because Jesus loved others. Because God loves others. Let me move on quickly. Precious stones is the third one. We'll finish with this one. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Just go back a little bit of ways and you run into Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. It's right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3. Say amen when you're there. I don't have much time, so I'm going to go quickly. Look, it says in verse 17, Malachi 3:17, it says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. They'll be mine, he says. Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. I'm going to tell you something. God looks on us as precious stones. God looks on us as his jewels. And what is a jewel supposed to do? What good is a big rock sitting in your jewelry box, ladies? It's doing no good. You put that jewel on. You put that big rock on, and I guarantee you people are going to notice. You know how it is when you walk around, you got the, oh, so how are you? Yeah, it's so good to see you. How you been? And you're just waiting for someone to see that rock, and they go, whoa. Remember me and you, we've seen a lot of ladies with some big diamonds, and they're talking to us, and they're not doing this, but you can't help it. A light hits that diamond, and bam, it shoots out. You're like, whoa, look at the size of that rock. It's a shame because some men, you know, they feel small because they don't have a lot of money and they got to buy their wives a little diamonds. And great thing is your wife loves it no matter what. But the bigger the diamond, oh boy, I'll tell you right now. I don't care if it's a big necklace. I don't care if it's a big ring. I don't care if it's whatever it is. It's shiny, it's sparkly, and it brings attention. Can someone say amen? And God says that we are his precious jewels that he can't wait to collect one day. So let me move on. Look in, if you would, in Exodus chapter 28, back where we were. I just have one more verse and we'll be done. Where is everybody today? Exodus 28, I'm sorry, I passed it. Are you all there? Look at me in verse 2, Exodus 28:2. Says this, it says, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. Now, picture this. Aaron is going to be the very first high priest, and only the high priest and his family. Everyone knows that, right? And we know that God had them make special clothing just for Aaron. You know that, right? And here what he's talking about, he says, and you'll make holy garments for Aaron for his glory and for beauty, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, look down with me for sake of time to verse 17. Verse 17 says, and thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardis, a topaz, a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a langur, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one of his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. Now, I want to go quickly. What happens is only the priest would wear this garment, and it would have 12 stones in it with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And those stones were to represent the glory that they give to God. You understand that? What happens is, and I'm out of time, and I just want to go quick. In Proverbs 17:8, it says, a gift is like a precious jewel. And wherever you turn it, it's going to shine and sparkle. See, God has given us all special gifts. All of us in this room that have been saved have been given gifts by God. And he said, Jesus said this, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine that others may see it and glorify God. Do you know that we are made kings and priests unto God? Just as Aaron was made a priest, a high priest, to go before God, we also now as the children of God are given the same status that we can go before the throne room of God as a high priest. But we never go in alone, Mike. We always go in clothed with the righteousness of Christ, clothed with the justification and the sanctification of Christ. And we enter into God's presence. And what he wants to see is the glory of God shine out from us. See, the reason you're here today is to give God, your God, glory. The reason your neighbors ought to see a shining, smiling face, a whistling heart, maybe cut their grass, maybe do something just for your neighbors. Just why? Why? So that God will get the glory. They want to see you smile. God wants to see you smile. God gets no glory when you're not happy. You're his child, been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb on your way to heaven, going to live as long as God lives, and you walk around with a crown, with a frown. That doesn't give God glory. God has given us light, and he wants us to shine. I'm almost out of time, but in Revelation chapter 21, let's finish with that. I'm out of time. Revelation 21. Do you know who was called the light bearer? Lucifer. Yep, the devil, Lucifer. His name was not the devil until he got prideful and puffed up. Revelation 21, in verse 19, it says this, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third carbuncle, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysopass, the 11th ajanth, and the 12th an amethyst. Now, why did I say all that? Because God says that we're his city. We're his dwelling place. We're the new Jerusalem. We're the bride of Christ. We're supposed to sparkle, shine, and shimmer. We're supposed to let everyone see the glory of God. We're supposed to be the happiest, shiniest, nicest, friendliest people that's ever walked the planet. We are supposed to be the most kindest people, most gentlest, most wonderful. How you doing? Hugs and kisses if you want. Give them, I don't care what it is. We are supposed to be different from everyone else in the world. And when they say, why are you so happy? You say, Jesus, amen. He saved my soul. We're supposed to let our lights so shine. Now, I want to finish with this. Lucifer, the devil, he was created with 9 stones in him, not 12, but 9 stones in him, and it gives you a depiction of what stones they are. He was created with gold pipes coming out of his body. He's the god of music, and he's the god of light. He is called the anointed cherub that covereth. He hovered above the throne of God Almighty. He alone covered God with his wings, like the cherubim cover where God meets. And when God, who is light, shined up, it hit the 12 stones on Lucifer's chest, and in the prisms upon prisms, shined out to all the angels in different multicolors, and he played music, and it was gorgeous and glorious and beautiful. It was phenomenal. And it got to his head, and he thought he was better than God, smarter than God, knew better, more than God. And he got cast out. Now that beauty, it ate him up, and now he's evil. Why did I say all that? Because I believe when God said, you are children of light. I believe when we get our glorified bodies, we're going to be vessels of light. I believe that when Lucifer was cast out, there was something missing in heaven, something giving God the glory more than anything else. I believe that we are that. We're his precious jewels. So what is the last thing? Do whatever you do, give God the glory for it. Shine, let your light so shine. Sing, praise, worship, whatever it is. Pick up trash. I don't care what it is. Smile, happy, click your heels. Man, just, I mean, I don't care if there's dog poop on the sidewalk. Go over there singing a song of glory and pick it up for someone. And people go, what are you doing for Jesus? Hallelujah. Just shine. Let your light so shine. Because those rewards will never be taken away. Don't be grumpy. Don't be miserable. Be happy and shine forth for Jesus. Can someone say amen? Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the church of God, the Bible. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, the people of God. God, you're awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving our souls through our faith in your son, Jesus. Now, please meet with us today. Fill each heart with thy love. Fill each spirit with thy desire. And help us, Lord, I pray. Bring the people in. I don't know where everyone's at, but get them in, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Church is ready to start. I'm sorry, I'm way, way late.